Parshas Kisavo opens with a discussion of the special gifts that we bring to the Beis HaMikdash, the first thing, fruits which are known to be Bikurim. And the Torah goes on to talk about a vidui, a public declaration, which a Jew has to make when he brings these firstling fruits. And then, after this, we speak about the deadline for fulfilling the duty to give the other agricultural gifts. Bikurim, of course, are the firstling fruit. That's the first thing that might be separated because we designate these fruits when they're still blossoms. But then, when things reach maturation and we harvest them, we have to give a gift. And we have been taught that there are two types of tithes, two types which we give each and every single year. And then there's one tithe which switches. And that's on the third year and on the sixth year. That's the notion that in the first 2 years it's called Maaser Sheni, the second tithe. And on the third year it's called Maaser Oni, it's called the tithe that's given to the poor. And because of this, and because it takes time for things to mature, even into the continuation of the third year, which is the third year ends as things that don't mature until and get harvested until later on, like fruits. So because of this, every fourth year, we'd have a mitzvah to come to Hashem, to come to the Beis HaMikdash, and to make a declaration stating that we have done our duty. We have taken care of all the tithes, and we have to make sure, actually, that there's nothing left in our residuals before that time, so when it comes to Pesach, on the fourth year, that we can make this declaration. And that's what we're talking about here in the second reading, which is ultimately kind of the follow-up from Bikurim as well. It starts with Bikurim, and then it moves into the second reading, Sheni, which is the 26th chapter of Deuteronomy, verse 12 onward. Kisichal olaset es kol ma'aseh tefuascha, when you completed giving all of the tithes. This refers, of course, to the third year of the year of the Maaser. You give it to the Levi, you give it to the proselyte, you give it to the orphan, you give it to the widow. Everybody's happy, everybody's eaten. So once this is all concluded, verse 13 tells us, V'yomar tolefnei Hashem elokecha, that at that point, there's a fixed day before Pesach of the fourth year, which is the deadline for fulfilling all of your obligations vis-a-vis the tithes of the produce of the third year. And of course, this includes the years that are prior to that also. So once that all happens, you come before Hashem and you say, Biyarti HaKodesh Min HaBayis. So the word biur is actually used typically for chametz. We call it biur chametz, or we refer to it usually as the destruction of chametz, but that's, it really means the removal of chametz, making sure that there's no trace of chametz, there's no chametz left amongst our property or residuals. Here it's not a question of destroying, here it's a question of distributing, making sure it's no longer within the ranks of our own property. It's moved outside of our ownership and it's been given to the proper places. So at any rate, we use the same terminology, and the point is absolute, total removal. Biyarti HaKedesh Min HaBayis, I have removed that which is sacred, the sacred matter, from my house. V'gam Nasati V'Levi, I've given it to the Levi. V'Lager, to the proselyte. La'yosim, to the orphan. La'almona, to the widow. K'chol Mitzvoscha Asher Tzivisoni, I did everything exactly as you commanded me to. La'yavarti M'mitzvosecha, I have not violated, transgressed any of your commandments. V'loy Shochachti, nor have I forgotten to thank you for granting me this opportunity. So let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi goes through this verse in detail, and he explains what each specific statement means. V'yomarta lefnei Hashem elokecha, you'll say it before the Lord your God. Says Rashi, hisvadei. Hisvadei we typically think of as confess, because we have something called vidui, and vidui that we know about is the vidui we do in Yom Kippur, or the vidui we do every day when we acknowledge our various inequities, our shortcomings, our failings, our sins, and we verbalize it before Hashem. And it actually is a mitzvah to verbalize these things. You cannot simply ask Hashem for forgiveness in your heart, in your mind, you actually have to verbalize it. So really, hisvade or vidui means verbalization. And here, v'yomarta lefnei Hashem elokecha, this means it's not something which comes in the heart or mind, but rather hisvade, you have to verbalize this. You have to say it out loud. Nosata ma'asrecha, I have given all of your tithes. Now we go on to the details of the pasuk. Biyarti hakodesh min habayis. This, of course, has nothing to do with sin per se. On the contrary, I'm making a public declaration that I have fulfilled all of God's commandments. I have gotten rid of or removed all holiness from the house. What's this talking about? Rashi says, Zem Maisa Sheni. This refers to the second tithe, which is eaten in Yerushalayim. So all the food, which is designated as a second tithe, has to either be brought to Yerushalayim, or it has to be redeemed, and the money has to be brought to Yerushalayim and spent there. There's other type of produce that has to be brought to Yerushalayim, and that's known as Nete Revoi. These are the fruits that grow in the fourth year of a tree. So the first 3 years, the first three crops of the tree are called Arla, which are off limits to us, and we don't consume, nor do we benefit. And then the fourth year is called Kodesh Ilulim. We bring those fruits to Yerushalayim, we acknowledge Hashem's many gifts, and we thank Him for it. And so the Torah is teaching us here, V'limedcha, the Torah is teaching us, Shem Shoha Ma'as Reisav Shal Shtei Shonim, that if a person has, for whatever reason, withheld the tithes previous, V'lo Yehe'elem L'Yerushalayim, and he didn't bring these produce, the fruits of either Net Ma'aser Sheni or Net Revoi to Yerushalayim. So Shetzarech L'Ha'aloisim Achshav, you better bring him now. This is your deadline. And that's how people are. You give him a deadline, all of a sudden they come running at midnight to get it postmarked, you know. You have to pay your taxes. You had all this time. There's no surprises. You knew it was coming. Human nature. You make him a deadline. I should say a due date. I never didn't like the word deadline. I never liked the word due date. Give him a due date. That's when they get nervous about it. That's the one of the things associated with life. So the due date for your declaration has to be the concept of the end of the fourth year, meaning the end of the season of the fourth year on Pesach, because that's the only time it's really going to be reasonable that everything should already have been taken care of. Prior to Pesach, there's going to be certain things that weren't taken care of yet. V'gam nasativ l'levi, I've also given it to the Levi. How does the Levi play in there? She says, Zem Maaser Rishon, this is the first tithe. So we speak about the second tithe, we're going backwards. And then we speak about the first tithe. V'gam, and what's the V'gam? It says, Nosativ L'Levi, it says, I gave it to the Levite. V'gam L'Rabbis, that comes to include something else. What else is there besides the Levi? Well, before I give the Levi 10%, I have to give 2% to the Kohen. And that includes also a tiny percent, which is brought for Bikurim. So this is Truma and Bikurim. Leger leyasim v'la'almana. Where did the Torah tell us that we have to give a tithe to a proselyte, to a widow, to an orphan? So Rashi says, Zem Maisa Sheni. This refers to Maisa Sheni. Why does that refer to Maisa Sheni? That's a very strange statement. So the thing is like this. For the most part, people who don't have any family, who are alone, will oftentimes not prosper. It doesn't mean they won't. Sometimes people do amazing anyway. But a lot of times when you don't have a head start, it's very difficult to be successful. You have somebody to support you, somebody to help invest, somebody to fall back on, but the proselyte's by himself. He doesn't have anybody to help, he doesn't have a family. So because of this, it's much more difficult for him to get ahead in life. And because this is the case, you have Maaser Ani, you have the tithe that's given to the poor, it doesn't mean it has to be given to a proselyte, it means that it's very common that it would be. In other words, look for whoever's likely to be needy. And make sure the needy people are provided with Maaser Ani. So this is the reason that we speak about Leger Liyasim V'Almana, oftentimes the orphan. There are some orphans that can do fantastic, and some widows that are fabulously wealthy. Many are not. Many orphans aren't. They don't have a breadwinner, they don't have somebody to be able to take care of them, and so you look for who is most naturally going to be in need, and that's who you make sure to provide a support for, a network for.
So they would be looking within their community.
You would always look within your own community first. It says, Aniye Ircha Kaidim. Those who are needy in your own community always come first. Mm-hmm. We have a similar concept when it comes to Yom Tov, when it comes to celebrating Yom Tov. It says you have to make sure to include those who are less fortunate. And we have the same list of individuals because they might not have family, abroad support, and a background, and so on and so forth. Kichol mitzvascha, like all of your mitzvahs, what haven't we mentioned yet? So Rashi says, well, we did talk about all the tithes. However, this statement is, Nasatim kisidram. I gave them in order, which means, Shalei higdamti truma lefnei bikurim. I didn't give truma first and only afterwards bikurim. In other words, like this, before I even harvest the fruit, the produce, the first thing I have to do is separate the bikurim. And there's a certain amount that's given. It's 1/60th. A certain amount I have to separate the bikurim. Then after I separate that, remember, since we're using a percentage, which is only rabbinic in nature, but still we're using a percentage, so if the question is what you started out with, so the percentages will be right. If you're harvesting 100 bushels, so 60% will be whatever it is, like a bushel and then some. So that's, but if you give truma first, which is you separate 2%, then you don't have 100 now to start from. Now you're talking about 98 bushels to start from. So if you're talking about 98 bushels, the 60% is smaller. In other words, if we don't do this in order, the numbers don't work out right. Mm-hmm. Because a larger original number gives you a larger percentage that you separate. So you have to give it kesidrim. I didn't give truma before bikurim. V'chein loy meiser letruma. I didn't do meiser the tenth before the truma. V'loy sheni lerishon, not the second before the first. It's very simple, because what happens is if you have 100 bushels and then you separate 2% for truma, so that's 2 bushels. It's 2%. 90, you have 98 to go. But if, and then the levy, you have to take 10% of 98 bushels. But if you started out with the levy, you started out with the truma, you have 100 bushels, you have to give 10%. So you took 10 bushels, separated them, now you only have 90. So you're going to give 2% of 90, not the same as 2% from 100, and so on and so forth. Rashi goes on to say, Shah truma kuru yoreshis. Truma is called first. And that teaches us, Shehi Rishoina, that's the first thing which is done, the first tithe which is separated. The first heave, if you will, which is lifted. And this is Mishanase Dogon, the moment it's become stacked as a harvest, that's when you're obligated to give it. Uchsiv, and it's written in Parshas Mishpatim, Meleyoscha V'dimacha Loi Ta'acher. The word Meleyoscha refers to the concept of Bikurim. Dimacha refers to the concept of truma, as Rashi says there. And the point is, loy tishane es haseder. Don't mix the order around. Give it in its proper order. First meleyascha, then dimacha. First the bikurim, then the truma, etc. Lo yavarti mi mitzvesecha. So the first statement is, I did everything as you told me to. Now we know, what does that mean? I did everything in order. Mm-hmm. In order to fulfill the mitzvah properly. Then it says, lo yavarti, I didn't transgress. What's that referring to? Rashi says, lo hifrashti mimin al sheini minoy. When you give these gifts, they're supposed to be given from each specific harvest. So if a person has, for example, a number of different orchards, and he harvests figs in one and figs in another, so then the truma is supposed to be given from one farm or one orchard for that harvest. And then from the other harvest, from a different place, that's where he gives the truma from. Why is that important? Well, think of it this way. A person has grade A figs, you know, triple A figs, and he has another field which is, you know, maybe B plus. So he says to himself, why should I give the old double A, triple A? I'll give the B plus, so they know the difference. I know what I have to give. I gave a percentage. I take all my harvest, I put it together. I now have 200 bushels or whatever it is of figs or of pomegranates, and I'm going to take them and separate a smaller amount. I'm a chayah, and I got the good ones I got to myself. Mm-hmm. Right? You can make a calculation like that. And then a person could say, no, I want to give the better ones. Teresa says, shkoyach, thank you very much. Just give from each kind. You got a gift, Hashem gave you wonderful beneficence, beautiful. Now separate the tithe. You got the next one, separate the tithe. That's what tithes ideally should be given. Of course, when it comes to the miser, the tithes we give from our earnings, that's not the case. It doesn't make a difference. $1 is not different than the other dollar, right? Mm-hmm. A shiny nickel is not better than a rusty quarter. It doesn't make a difference where the money comes from. The bottom line is you have to look at your final line. This is the money it was brought in, and that's the tithe you give. So it's very different when it comes to produce, to fruit, to grain, and so on and so forth. So that's the meaning of I didn't transgress. Rashi goes further and he says, "Umin ha-chadosh ala yashan. I don't give from 1 year's on another year." That means the tithe has to be given even not only from the same field, not only from the same harvest, but also in the same year. Not to kind of back pay. You know, the person will take whatever he needs for the first couple of years. It's 2 years in already. I know, don't worry, I know exactly what it was. I'll separate from this year for this year and last year. Not the right thing. That would be a transgression. V'lo shachachti, didn't forget. What didn't you forget? This list keeps going on. She says, this is milvarechecha l'afroshas ha-maisers. I didn't forget to make a bracha. So when a Jew does a mitzvah, he's supposed to make a bracha. And here, he makes a bracha on the mitzvah. At least this is the way some of the Mefarshim explain it. That's how Rashi explains the Maseches Brachas. We refer here not to say thank you to Hashem only, but the actual bracha that's recited over the separation of the tithes. Verse 14, we now go on to detail what else was done right. Lo yachalti bi'oini mimenu. I didn't eat it when I was in a state of aninut. I'll soon explain what that means. V'lo biyarti mimenu b'tomi. I did not rid myself or empty my possessions, empty it from my residuals when I was in a state of ritual impurity. V'lo nesata mimenu l'meis. I didn't give it to the dead. This is not a play on Halloween. We'll soon hear what that means. Shamaiti b'kor l'Hashem l'koi. I have listened to the voice of the Lord my God. Asisi. I did. K'choy l'asher tzivisoni. Exactly as He commanded me. Lo yachalti be'oini mimeni. I didn't eat it be'oini. What does this mean? So mimenu refers to the kodesh. It refers to that which was removed from a house. In other words, let's go back to the beginning of verse 13. V'amarta lefnei Hashem Elokecha. You are going to say before the Lord your God. What's the first thing you say? What does the beginning of verse 13 speak about? It speaks about the concept of Biarti HaKodesh Min HaBayis. I have removed the sacred matter from my house. So there's a sacred matter, and I have removed it from my house. And then in the rest of verse 13, we gave details. Details of who it was given to. Details of how it was given. Details of when it was given. Details of how we didn't forget to make a bracha. And now we simply continue those details. Lo yichalti mimenu, bo'ini mimenu. Mimenu goes back to what we said earlier. And what are we saying? We're speaking about then the Meiser, Sheni, and the Neter Avoy, because that's how we started speaking about. We started off, if you remember, Rashi said, what are we referring to here? Biyarti HaKredish Min HaBayis refers to Meiser Sheni and Neter Avoy, not the later part of the Pasuk, which speaks about Gam Nasatid L'Levi. That's the Meiser and the Truma. And Liyasam V'Almona, which speaks about the Meiser Oni. But this goes back to the beginning of the Pasuk. Here we speak about Bikurim. Sorry, Meiser Sheni, which is brought to Yerushalayim, and Neter Avoy, which is once again brought to Yerushalayim. Who consumes that? Not the Kohen, not the Levi, not the poor. I do, in Yerushalayim. I take the second tithe, and I bring it to Yerushalayim. What happens if the food's not going to make it? Not all food lasts for 6 months. What happens then? I have to redeem it for cash. I take the cash, I spend it in Yerushalayim. So people came to Yerushalayim with food to eat, more importantly, with cash to spend. So the vendors in Jerusalem did very well. It was a tourist industry, a pilgrim industry. People are coming, they have cash, they spend the money. This is how it went. So, le'echalti be'oini means, mikan, from here we can see, she'asr le'oinen. An oinen is a person, Rachman al-San, lost a loved one in that first day, prior to the burial. That's called an onen. And this is something which is min ha'teira, that you don't do mitzvahs during that time. A person doesn't perform positive mitzvahs, doesn't make brachas, doesn't put on film. You can't violate any negative mitzvahs. You can't eat not kosher, but you don't do any positive mitzvahs. That's the period called Onen. So during that Onen period, this is not a time to eat the Meiser Sheni in Yerushalayim. Why is that? Because it has to be eaten, it has to be consumed. This mitzvah has to be performed with joy. And that's not a time when a person can be joyous. So that's the first statement is, I didn't do it ba'ini in a time when I couldn't be joyous. I didn't do it in a time when I was in a state of ritual impurity. Who? The food or the person? Says Rashi, both. Bain, not they don't both have to be impure. Bain sha'ani tamei v'hu tahir. Whether I'm in a state of ritual impurity and the food, the produce is pure, can't be consumed. Well, bain sha'ani tahir, whether I'm in a state of ritual purity, v'hu tamei, and the food stuff is ritually defiled. So in either case, it would be inappropriate, and therefore we have to make sure that we do this right, in a state of ritual purity. And where were we warned about this? So Rashi says, earlier, and it says in the Torah, in the 12th chapter of Deuteronomy, you're not allowed to eat in your gates the tithes of your harvest. Which means that you cannot eat those tithes in your own gates, only in my gates, says God. Which are my gates? That's Yerushalayim. So this is also a warning. Zoi achila betuma. This refers also not only to the fact that you can't eat it outside Yerushalayim, but even when you're in Yerushalayim, if you're in a state of ritual impurity, that's no good. You can't eat anywhere else. Location is a big deal. But besides location, it also has to be eaten when you're in a state of readiness. Namely, you're in a state of ritual purity. Like it says, b'psuli hamukdoshim, which things which are defiled, these are things which are supposed to be brought to the Beis HaMikdash, like animal offerings. That it says, B'sha'arecha techlenu, you'll eat it in your gates, Hatomei v'hatorei, in your gates, things which are not Yerushalayim-based, things which are not temple-centric can be eaten in your gates. Aval zeh, but this, lo yisucha lechel, this cannot be eaten, because this doesn't get eaten in your gates. In your gates, your private food, your private endeavors, in a state of purity, in a state of impurity, it's your business. It's your business, says God. Do as you please. I didn't tell you you have to be ritually pure. But in my gates, you come to my shorim. If you're coming to my shorim, then you have to do it my way. Then you have to come in a state of ritual purity. And therefore, it has to be, you cannot, lesucha lecha, you cannot eat derech achilas shorecha, the way it's eaten in your gates, ha'amr b'makam achar, which is said elsewhere. And of course, we're referring, as I said, to Deuteronomy 12:17. V'le'nasatim imenu l'meisa, didn't give it to the dead. How could you give it to the dead? The dead aren't here to take it. So Rashi says, simple. A person will say, oh, I got ma'isa sheni money. It's holy money. What bigger mitzvah could it be than afford dignity to the dead? And here's a person, and they can't afford a coffin. They can't afford the funeral. No problem. I have ma'isa sheni. Here's the money. Bury the person. Give him full dignity, full glory, full honor. And I feel so good about myself. I took the money which is designated for a mitzvah, and I used it. The greatest mitzvah, chesed shel emes, the kindness, which is called truest of all. Hashem says, thanks, but no thanks. You should give tzedakah. You should take care of chesed shel emes. But this money has to be consumed or utilized in a state of joy. And that's not a joyous thing. Shomaiti b'koyla Hashem alekoy, I listened, I heard the voice of my God, the Lord my God. This means hevesiv l'beis habechira. I came to the house that Hashem has chosen. That of course refers to the Beis HaMikdash. There could be only one chosen house. There can be many holy homes. In fact, every home should be holy. A Yid's home should be a Mikdash Ma'at. Every Beit HaKnesset is a Mikdash Ma'at. But there's one chosen home. And that is Yerushalayim. That's the Beis HaMikdash. And so I did everything. I heard your voice, Hashem. I came, I slept all the way to Yerushalayim. I came all the way to the Beis HaMikdash. Asisi, I have done Kechoy Lasher Tzivisoni. Exactly as you commanded. What is exactly as Hashem commanded? It wasn't only what you do, it's how you do it. How was your attitude? When you did it, did you do it dutifully? Did you do it heavy-heartedly? You did it because you had to do it? Or you did it in a state of joy, in a state of happiness? Rashi says, it means, samachti, I was joyous, v'simachti boy, and I made sure everybody else was joyous around me. A mitzvah has to be done with joy. And everybody involved in the mitzvah has to be joyous too. And so the rejoinder now is, Hashkifa mima'oin kotshecha min hashamayim. Now, God, we have acted in accordance with your command. We ask Hashem that he look down favorably from his holy dwelling, from the heavens, so to speak. Mima'oin kotshecha, Hashem's holy dwelling, min hashamayim, from the heavens. Uvarech es amcha es Yisrael. And he should bless your nation Israel. Veis ha'adoma, and the land, Hashem asat alonu, that you have given us. As you forswore to our ancestors, the land of Zovas Chalav Advash and Eretz, a land in which there is flowing milk and honey. Rashi says, what are we saying to Hashem now? After all this, made the declaration, did exactly as you told me to, in the right time, in the right order, to the right people. I did everything you told me to. I did it how you said. I was in a state of purity, and I was in a state of joy, and in the right place. Everything is done right. Now we ask Hashem, Hashkifa mein kachka, look down from your holy abode. La'ach, the Rashi says, Asinu, we did, Masha gazarta aleinu, which you have decreed upon us. And so, I say, Af ata. Now you too do, Masha alecha lasis. Now do what you're supposed to do. We did what we're supposed to do, God. You do what you're supposed to do. What does that mean? Shenemar, as it's written in Leviticus, in b'chukayse teilechu, if Hashem says you go on my statutes, v'nesati gishmechem be'itam, I will give you your rainfall in its appropriate time, which means ultimately I'll give you abundant parnasa, because the word geshem, which means rain, is also the same word for material plenty. So that's what we ask Hashem. We ask Hashem, we did our part. Please God, you do your part. So what's the question? The question is, we don't have time for the rest of this verse, but I do want to go on to a beautiful analysis of what we just read in Rashi. If you go to the Beurim book, page Ayin, Simen Yud Aleph and Parshas Kisavei, the Rebbe notes that there's a very similar commentary from Rashi, just a few short parshiot back, in Parshas Ekev. In Parshas Ekev, it says, "Benasati metar artzchem beitoy." I will give. The scripture says, the verse says openly, "I will give your rainfall in its appropriate time." So Rashi says, and this is a quote, "Asisem masha alechem." God says, "You did what was upon you." Afani esa masha alai. I do what's upon me. So the Rebbe says, sounds very similar. It's reciprocity, divine reward and reciprocity. Two questions. Number one, in Parshas Ekev, Rashi simply says, "Asisem masha alechem." You did what is upon you. And we understand, you did what is upon you, fill in the blanks. It means you did what's upon you, you did what you're supposed to do. Here it says, "Asinu masha gozarta." There God speaking to us, you did what's upon you, I'll do what's upon me. Here we're speaking to God, and we say, "Asinu, we did masha gozarta." We did that which you have decreed. The word gozarta is from the word gezera. Gezera means a decree. You decreed upon us, we did what you decreed upon us. We did, in other words, we did as you, we were told. But a decree is a very harsh term. But why do we talk about that? Why don't we just say, "Asinu masha aleinu"? Same language. Asisa masha aleichem. So take out the word gazarta and just put in "Asinu masha aleinu." Why Rashi put that extra word in? He didn't find it necessary the first time around. Why did he find it necessary here in Parshas Kisavei? That's question number one. And question number two is, why does Rashi reach all the way for Leviticus? And he says, and this is what is written, Shamarta b'chukos etalechu. Because you know, we read back in Leviticus, if you walk in my statutes. Rebbe says, we just read this a few short chapters ago. We just read this in chapter 11. And here we are in chapter 26. So it's the most natural thing. We just read this in Parshas Ekev. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu should have said, as I mentioned in my first speech. This is the second farewell speech. I mentioned in my first speech. Why go bring a proof, a verse, a quote that goes back a book and a half when you have it in the same book? It's just natural. If you're going to give, you're talking about when God said it, here's where God said it. Especially because the Rashi in Parshas Ekev and the Rashi here are virtually identical. So the Rebbe says that there is a big difference between Parshas Ekev and Parshas Kisavei. And ultimately, because of that, a big difference between Parshas B'chukosei and Parshas Ekev. And it goes like this. The difference between what we call these two blessings, the bracha of v'nasati metar artzchem be'itoy, I will give the rainfall in its appropriate time, which is in Parshas Ekev. And the blessing here of, which we invoke here in Parshas Kisavei, the blessing of Parshas B'chukosei, v'nasati gishmechem be'itam, sounds very, very similar. Here we're talking about matar, and then we're talking about geshem, but it sounds very similar. So, well, it goes like this. The difference is, the blessing in Parshas Ekev comes as reciprocity, as schar, as a reward for kiyum ha-mitzvahs v'ramah ha-basisis v'achreches, for doing the basics. You do the basics, God says, I give you back the basics. You do what you have to do, I do what I have to do. Kifi ha-mischayev, by virtue of what we're obligated to do, al pi shura sadin, by the letter of the law. Did the letter of the law? You follow the instructions, I'll respond, I'll reciprocate. But the parsha of B'chukosei does not come for the letter of the law, but rather it comes for reaching beyond. Reaching beyond is a toil in Torah, which is not simply doing it, but doing it with great devotion. As we know, Parshas Ekev speaks about the mitzvahs, which, v'hoyah Ekev Tishmon, you're going to follow, you're going to do what I told you to do. And over there, we say, Asisa Masha Aleichem. God says to us, you do what I told you to do, I'll give you. You do it you're supposed to, I'll do what I'm supposed to do. But our verse, we say, Ashinu Masha Gazarta Aleinu. We talk about a gezeira, we talk about a decree. This is a euphemism or an expression for the fulfillment of a mitzvah, which is not simply done, simply performed. But rather, it's performed with a level of great devotion. Like we have the expression, Gezeira hi milfonai. This is Rashi in the beginning of Parshas Chukas, where he talks about a chukah, a statute. He says, it's a gezeira, it's a decree. And a decree means whether you like it or not. whether you understand it or not, whether you relate to it or not, you need to do this. So when it comes to Bichul Kosei, Parshas Bichul Kosei, we're speaking about, it says, Im Bichul Kosei Teilechu. So the person would say, what does that mean? Walking in statutes, it means doing what Hashem wanted. Well, that it can't be, because it says, V'tzvei Sei Tishmeru, the next verse says that you have to keep my mitzvahs. So what is Bichul Kosei talking about? So if you remember, Rashi there tells us, Shatiyu Ameilim B'Teira, that we should be toiling in Teira. It doesn't just say learn Teira, it says toil in Teira. It's not just what you do, it's how you do it. In Parshas Bichul Kosei, we allude not only to following the checklist, but doing what's necessary, but we allude to doing it with every fiber of our being, all of our wherewithal, to invest our whole self into it, to do it with toil. And Parshas Kisavai is talking about when a Yid gets up before Hashem and he says, not only I did what I'm supposed to do, down to the joy I was supposed to have. Not only what I did, it's how I did it. And when a Yid can say before Hashem, it's not only what I did all, everything you told me to do, but I did it exactly how you told me to do it. And it went beyond the call. I did everything exactly. I didn't just give the Truma Maisa, I gave it exactly in order. I didn't just do it, I was in a state of purity, and I did it in a state of joy. When a Yid goes beyond the call of duty, Asinu Masha Gazarta Aleinu, a Gezeira is sometimes harsh or difficult, it's not easily done. We did this, and it wasn't simple, and it wasn't easy. The response to that is, Hashem says, then I will do what I promised you, not Parshas Ekev, but rather taking us back to Parshas Bichul Kosei. Hashem should help us, we should do what He wants from us, we should go above and beyond, and we should merit divine reward and reciprocity in the most wonderful way, receiving the land of Eretz Yisrael in its fullest sense all over again with the coming of Mashiach Ben Heda.
Amen.